Well, why don't you actually all turn to your scripture? It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And when you find that, you can stand up. And I'll actually read it, and you can just follow along. So Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, Pastor Wilson asked me to come over here to tell you a story that happened in my life. But, shalom. My name is Levi. And probably some of you heard about my name. And I have another name. It's called Matthew. I wrote a book about Jesus. Maybe some of you read it before. But tonight, this morning, I would like to share with you something happened long, long time ago that Jesus did in my life. And Pastor Wilson asked me to come over here. So, boom, I'm here in 21st century. Let me introduce to you a little bit about myself. I'm a Jew. Not just any ordinary Jew. I was a rich Jew. Really rich. You know why? Because I bid big money for this job. And this job is called tax collector. So I collect tax. But you know, tax collector back in my time was a very different thing. As a matter of fact, it was a very mixed feeling when people heard that. Because we get paid well. Not that the Roman government pay us well. But the Roman government had this kind of arrangement. They offered a job to those who offered the best money for that. And then once you get this job, you can do whatever you want. As long as every year you collect a certain amount of quota of money and give it to the Roman government. The rest, they didn't care. They didn't care how you get the money and they didn't care how much you get as long as you gave them the quota. So I bid big money for this job. But on the other hand, my people, the Jew, they hated us. They call us names. They call me traitor. They call me the unclean. You know why? Because I was collecting money for our enemy, Romans, a foreign government ruling over our own country. But they can call me whatever name they want as long as I have money. You know, who cares? They didn't like me? Tough. I didn't need them to like me as long as I have their money. So you can imagine, why should I do them any favor? If they come to me, they look down on me, fine, you pay for what you do. So I collect money from my people, and I collect a lot of money, and kept a whole bunch for myself. But you know, deep down inside, I felt very bad. Because no one around really liked me. No one treated me like a friend. So you know what I did? I used my money to throw a big party, to buy good food, to invite people around me to come to my house. As long as I have money, they come, they have fun. So I hide behind my richness. I use my money to make up some friendship. But I still feel very lonely. Now, there was one day I was doing my business, sitting at the city gate, looking at those merchants and people coming into the city. So I look at what they carry. So I said, how much you pay for tax? So I sat there and collecting tax. There's a whole bunch of people around me. So I was busy recording how much and then counting monies. But all of a sudden, I heard a commotion nearby. So when I turned my head, I saw a crowd walking toward the city gate. And I didn't know what was going on. I still busy keep collecting money. And all of a sudden, I realized this crowd was surrounding my tax table with all these people. And I lifted my head and I saw a pair of eyes staring at me. I realized who that was. There was a guy named Jesus. You know, he was in my town for a couple of days. And I heard a lot of things about him. You know, in my town, there was a person with leprosy. Well, we have a lot of people with leprosy living outside of the city. But this person, he was so desperate. He came to Jesus and asked for him to pray for him, asked for healing. And I heard the people said, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And he was completely healed. Not only that, but also later on, there was a couple of friends carrying a guy who'd been paralyzed for years. He couldn't move. And these friends, they took apart someone's roof and get the friend down in front of Jesus. Jesus healed him too. But people said, before Jesus healed him, Jesus said one sentence to that guy. He said, your sins are forgiven. I heard all these things because it was my town. People told me. Now I'm looking at him. He's staring down to me. You know, I was having all my defense getting up, you know. A famous teacher, a preacher, looking at me. I'm getting ready for humiliation, for rebuke from him. Because, you know, no one liked tax collector. I was getting ready. So I'm getting, summon all my courage and start to staring back at him. But you know what? When I stare back at him, I saw something quite different from that pair of eyes. Something I never seen before. Something that was not familiar to me. It was gentle. It was loving. And it has certain, make me feel certain degree of warmth in that gaze that he looked at me. And at that moment, I thought about those two news that I heard. The person with leprosy, the person who was paralyzed. I guess in certain way I felt like them. I felt like I am a person with contagious disease. I felt like I have leprosy. When people saw me, they turned around, they rejected me. And I felt like I'm paralyzed as well. I couldn't do anything about the way of life that I had. When I look back at Jesus, that pair of eyes, at that very moment, I knew what I'd been looking for, what I'd been longing secretly in my heart. It all materialized as a person standing before me. And you know what? He said to me just a few words. He said, "Come, follow me." Can you imagine a famous rabbi, a teacher, who invite me to follow him? So at that day, at the city gate, I made a radical decision. I gave up my job. I left everything behind. I stood up and I followed him. Now, when I look back, I guess you guys are an idiom saying these kind of things, calling, putting all the eggs in one basket. Didn't you have that idiom? I was putting all my eggs in one basket. I gave up a well-paid job. I followed him. And I thought, I found the answer of my life. Finally, I can commit myself to something more honorable, noble, worthy of my life. I'm not that old person, a tax collector anymore. I can have some ideal. I can follow and pursue a dream. I can follow a person who claimed that the kingdom of God is coming and he's the Son of God. Well, I felt good for a period of time. But later on, as we follow him, there's something bothers us. It bothers me at least. And I think it bothers other companions that follow him too. He starts to talk about stories. He starts to talk about parables. And most of the time, we didn't understand what he said about. I remember once he said about the seed. The sower sow out the seed. And then after the sower sow out the seed, he left. And the seed started to grow, to germinate and grow into plants. And Jesus said, nobody knew why they grow, but they just grow. At other time, he talked about the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. Start out with very small and later on grow very big. We didn't understand the point. We didn't understand that. And he seems to be as normal, as ordinary as any other person. Sometimes I had doubts. Did I follow the right person? Now I put all the eggs in one basket. Did I put it in the right basket? You know, there's another more peculiar thing happened in one evening. That was a long day. Jesus was preaching, teaching, and then we follow him, we help him, we serve the people. We are all exhausted. So at the evening, Jesus gathered us together and get on a fishing boat and told us to row the boat to the other side of the lake. So we did what he said. We rowed the boat. We were all tired. And Jesus was tired too. So as he went down in some corner in the boat, he fell asleep. So we rowed to the other side of the shore. And out of nowhere, in a very short time, a storm materialized. The boat started to rock. You know, well, in that lake, usually, you know, we encounter some storm, no big deal. And by the way, we have a couple of experienced fishermen on board. So we didn't worry about too much. You know, guys like Peter, Andrew, you know, they know about the lake. They knew about the environment. So we rely on them. But as the boat started to rock more and more violently, and then we noticed something different this time. Peter and Andrew, they got nervous. And we look at each other and said, if those two brothers get nervous, what's going to happen? And before we knew, Peter and the angel, they shout out commands, they shout out instruction, telling us, row this direction, row that direction, try to steer the boat so that the bow would face the wave so that it would not capsize. Wow, it was so violent. The wind was so strong. And then they instruct some of us to take down the sail. But, you know, regardless of all these things we did, the storm get more and more violent. And we all thought, the boat going to capsize. I was very nervous. And you know what? When I turned around, I saw Peter. He started to throw up. Then I thought, wow, we're in big trouble. Experienced fishermen, they got seasick now. Wow. I thought, we're going to die. But it's not that very thought of dying that terrifies me. It is that when I look around, it's all these Jesus students, all his disciples were on that boat. If we were the seat of the kingdom is doomed. We all go down to the bottom of the lake. So besides the fear of my own life, I have this dreadful frustration and anger a little bit inside of me. Jesus, we've been forsaking everything to follow you. Now, what's going to happen? So some of us get pretty upset and look for Jesus. Can you believe that? He was still sleeping. I couldn't take it anymore. So I went down there and shake him. Jesus! You know, wake him up. And he woke up. And he looked at us. You know what he did? I would never forget that. He looked at us. And he looked around. While trying to balance himself, he raised up his hand and said, hush, be quiet. You know, all of a sudden, the waves were gone. The wind calmed down. We couldn't comprehend what happened. We looked at each other. Nobody said anything. And Jesus looked at us and said, have you got faith? There was that evening, I thought everything I invest my life in is going to be gone. And Jesus, he stood up and said, hush, be quiet. That's it. That was my experience. Now let me get Pastor Wilson out here. That was Levi. Now, if I can, I ask you to turn to today's scripture with me together. Mark chapter 4. Most of the thing that Levi said was accurate in the Bible, and you can find it in the Gospel of Luke, as well as in the Gospel of Mark, except the part that Peter threw up. Okay? Nobody knew what happened. but is a educational guest, I guess. But today, the scripture that we read, there's a question hanging in our mind. Does Jesus still calm storm in the 21st century? Does Jesus still calm storm in our lives? I want to share with you a personal experience. This experience has to do with our family moved to Taiwan for seminary education in the year, between the year 1997 and 2000. And it happened at the summer of 1997. God called me to be His servant, to serve Him full time at the end of 1991 and the beginning of 1992. And He used a verse to call me. This verse is recorded in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. It's a very personal verse for me, because I was struggling with a low self-esteem. And I thought that to be a pastor, many things I could not handle. But this is what God encouraged me and promised me in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Let me read it for you. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." It is this verse that sustained my faith in God. And I struggled with that for about 5 years before I finally submit myself to God's calling. So here we go. Our family uproot from the United States. We were living in East Brunswick at that time. We sold our house, get everything ready, and move and pack to Taiwan. When we arrived in Taiwan, there was a hot summer. 98% humidity, 100 degrees every day. And as a matter of fact, that was the first time in my life when I ride on bus, I can smell my sweat. So, it was very, very tough for me. Not only that, but also I found out that to move to Taiwan and to stay there legally, I had a lot of paperwork to do. And the things, the furniture and the things that we packed, the books, boxes and all these things, finally they arrived Taiwan. And I had to personally went to the custom to clear all these things. So that was a dreadful, dreadful and stressful summer for me. And finally, things seems to get quiet down a little bit. And that was this one hot summer evening that we were getting ready and go try to plug in with this local church, which we're going to spend 3 years in and learn and have my internship there. So that was the first evening that we visit this small group in the city. And I was exhausted. And I still remember my wife and I, we were trying to locate this address, to find this home, this apartment, to join the small group for the first time. And we were sweating like, you know, beyond imagination. Everything is wet. So I look at the address, I approach that apartment building. It's a beautiful apartment building. And the host family was some sort like a medical doctor. So I thought to myself, finally, a nice place. And for sure, I'm 100% sure, I can bet my life, in that apartment there will be air conditioning. So we went up there. To my surprise, there was not a single unit of air conditioning. There's no air conditioner in that apartment. I sat there, still remembering that the sweat was crawling down the back inside my shirt. I start to complain. A storm welled up in my heart. I start to complain to God, did you do the right thing? I start to doubt about my decision. Am I out of my mind? I should have stayed here, attend Trinity or Westminster, instead of moving half a globe away and went back to that dreadful place. I start to question God. Have you ever had that kind of moment? That all of a sudden, certain doubt welled up. A small storm started to take shape in our hearts. I was so upset. I couldn't concentrate in the whole small group meeting. I couldn't concentrate during the Bible study. And at the end, they have a time of ministry time. They pray for each other. None of them know us. We're new. And I remember that night, there was a young sister. As a matter of fact, the small group leader was on vacation. He wasn't even around. So this is a young little sister. We got together. She knew that we came to Taiwan for seminary. Besides that, she didn't know anything about us. She said, why don't we get together and pray for this family? You know what? When they get around us to pray for us, and I heard, closing my eyes, still complaining, with struggle with the emotion, I heard her flipping her Bible. And then she said, I have a verse for you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. When she read that verse, I knew Jesus was there. When she read that news, I knew Jesus came personally to calm the storm in my heart. He did not give me a new air conditioning unit. He did not suddenly change the room into 55 degrees. But he calmed the storm in my heart. And as in Mark chapter 4, if we read the context, we knew it was not the disciples they chose to row the boat to that part of the lake. It was according to Jesus' instruction. Jesus set them up for the storm. Jesus led them into the storm. And Jesus calmed the storm for them. My dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes in our lives, sometimes in our family, sometimes in our career, sometimes in our church life, we will face storm. And as a matter of fact, some of us, you might feel, a storm is starting to take shape among us. With all the things that happened in the past couple of weeks. I don't think and I don't believe anyone in this church have all the answers. We will still have a lot of questions. But just like almost 10 years ago at that evening, God did not change my environment. God did not change all the government red tape, the paperwork, the frustration they had to go through after that evening. I still had to struggle with the heat. I still had to struggle with all these frustrations. But at that evening, I have assurance. I did not make the wrong choice. Nor did my Lord forsake me, because He was with me. He was with me together in the storm, and he was able to calm the storm in my heart. Emotions, feelings, we will still have. And by no means, we shouldn't suppress them. But yet, let us not forget one thing more important. We are here. We are holding on, not because of things that would change, but because the Lord is there. He is the only reason that we can keep our faith and hold on and pursue the course. Does Jesus still calm storm in the 21st century? I don't know what your answer is, but my answer, as I experience, he still calms storms in our lives. He will reveal himself in a way that will surprise us, and he will give us enough grace to sustain and to run the race with him together. Let's bow and pray.